Lighthouse Church. Welcome, 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 welcome. So we've been in this series about Joseph. So the first slide, would you pop that up for me? The first slide. So this series is God Meant It for Good, which is the journey of Joseph. Our key verse is Genesis 50, 20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Something today I want to really try to narrow into. I'm going to try to introduce you to some concepts that might be new for you, but it'll be simple to understand. But language, I should say. But what I want to communicate and get to the point of is this idea: when we go through trouble, like you read in James 1, verse 2, which we'll talk about, when you go through trouble, it's not just wasted time. Depending on our attitude, oftentimes depends on how often and how long we stay in that trouble. But there's something that God wants to do. He wants to mark us in these times, in these moments. So that's where I want to head today. So the title today is this: Marked by Dreams, Made in Delay, and then Moved into Purpose. Marked, made, and moved. Marked, made, and moved. Joseph was marked, then he was made through a number of adversities during this delay. He was made. Character developed. Perseverance. Grew iron in his soul, according to Psalms 105. He was made. And then once the time was fulfilled, he was moved into purpose. That's like us, you and I. We're strugglers. We deal with life. And some of us are just beginning to get a hold of this idea of life in adversity and life that comes from difficulty. But and it's oftentimes we shriek and we push back when difficult times come, because there's a perception in our Western culture that says things like this, like God, if we're blessed by God, then everything should be going well. There's a fundamental ideology in our culture, in our religious Christian culture, that says that. How are you doing? I'm blessed. That and oftentimes we really are. But there's this idea: if I'm not blessed, then there's something wrong with my faith walk. Not true. Not true. Joseph is a prime example of that. So let's cite in this introduction to what I'm talking about with a question here. What makes a routine activity a moment of providence? What makes a routine activity a moment of providence? You all drive to work, you go to school, you do the same things over and over again, repeatedly. Routine moments, routine minutes, routine hours. But what makes those a moment of providence or divine providence, and what makes them memorable, if you will? I don't remember every time I drove to work, but I do remember when I got in an accident on the way to work. You know what I'm saying? Impact moments often stand out. Things that punctuate our walk, punctuate our experience. Those things stand out and cause me to go, I remember that day on a routine thing. So I want to help you understand this concept of where we're going and how it applies to Joseph's life. Ever heard of the phrase like an aha moment? Ever heard of aha moments or eureka moments? Sometimes they've been called PowerPoints. These things are divine encounters, can be, where faith markers mark our spiritual growth, and our spiritual growth gets punctuated by these certain moments. Say that again. It aha moments, divine encounters, these eureka moments or PowerPoints. These are moments in our life where our faith gets punctuated by an event or by an experience. Something occurs, and the more we interact with deep conviction in those moments, like say I believe in Bible study, or I believe in prayer, or I believe in being faithful on Thursdays to pick up my grandsons. It's like clockwork. Every Thursday, I'm going to pick up the boys. I believe that. There are so many routine events. I can't expect every Thursday to be this, where Micah and Vinny are just like little angels floating around. It's just real life. We just go through these moments regular over and over, but every now and then something comes along and punctuates that. And the more conviction, the more consistent we are with interacting with these core truths and core principles in our lives, that's where these moments manifest. Another simple idea is when you're reading and you say you're going to study about the love of God and you begin to dig through scripture and routine, I'm going to spend a few weeks doing this or a few months, and you go through on a topical Bible study over and over, and you're consistent. You don't miss a minute. You don't miss a week of devotion. You keep going. And then one day, there's this aha moment. You've been interacting with the truth, and all of a sudden, it's like you've been sowing and sowing and sowing, and then something burst out of the soil of where you've been sowing. That's an aha moment. Those are these divine encounters. That's kind of this idea of what we're talking about. See, can you recall, as we talk about, can you recall being marked by a moment? Can you recall a scenario where you've been marked, whether by circumstances that were traumatic, whether it be an encounter with the Holy Spirit, where, like, I remember that time when I was praying and God showed up in my room. It was so real. It changed me. It moved me. Or maybe there's just simply just some regular circumstances you're marked by. These are moments of meaning. These are these moments of meaning. Moments of meaning are really important, especially as we look at Joseph's life. But we all have routine experiences that have some importance, but not much impact. That's kind of the point I want to drive this to. We all have these routine experiences, regular, over and over. We go to work, punching the clock, bread and butter, bread and butter, bread and butter, over and over, right? But it's not until something gets punctuated where that begins to stand out. See, at times, listen to this. At times, God will interrupt your minutes to reveal moments. Those moments are like where heaven and earth kind of come together. Those moments is where God breaks through and begins to show himself. There's a gal named Madeline L. Engel who wrote the book Wrinkle in Time. Anybody familiar with that book, Wrinkle in Time? She makes this comment of when you lose track of time, that's where heaven has broken into reality. It's like near a direct quote. But when you lose track of time, you're in this moment. She would also argue that art and music are these types of moments where it's not measured by minutes, seconds, hours, or weeks. It's measured by something deeper, where we're interacting with something much deeper than that. Aha moments are God's, here's the word, kairos encounters that punctuate our chronos growth. Bear with me. Marking us with faith, revelation, and maturity. Two key words, kairos and chronos. Kairos, something that measures moments, measures these events. Chronos, something that measures seconds and minutes. Pop that phrase, that slide up for me, would you? So two descriptions in Greek thought. Two descriptions of time in two categories of time in Greek thought that you'll find all throughout your Old Testament and you'll find in the New Testament as well, is these concepts of both chronos and kairos. Teaching moment here. Don't fall asleep on me, okay? If you're sleepy, I'm going to throw something at you. I'm not going to tell them who they are, Stan. I'm just going to come get them, okay? I'm kidding. Stan was awake. Thank you, Stan. Come on, it was funny, wasn't it? Never mind. I'm told this. If I say, hey, that was funny, my wife goes, Doug, it really wasn't funny. If it was, people would have laughed, right? So hang on with me. It's kind of a heady moment here. Kairos versus Chronos. What does this even mean? Chronos measures minutes and years. Kairos measures meaning and moments. Check it out. On the left side, Chronos, clock time, seconds, minutes, and hours. Linear and measurable. Quantitative. How long is this going to take, man? I'm watching the clock. Have you ever stared at the clock at work and like, oh my gosh, I've got 6 hours to go? Feels like I've been here 12 hours already. You know what I mean? That's Chronos. It's tick, 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 over and over and over. You're watching the clock. Represents schedules, calendars, deadlines. A biblical example is when Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season. He's talking about if there's an appointed Chronos moment for everything. That's what the author is saying. Now look over to the right, Kairos. It's an opportune moment, God's appointed time. It's qualitative by significance and meaning. It's a divine interruption to ordinary time. A divine interruption to ordinary time. Going through the moments, check this out, I'll tell you a story. Every day I would get ready for work. I lived on like 43rd and Thunderbird years ago, one of our first homes. And every day I would get ready for work. I would go out. I was all dressed, ready to go. And I had this routine. I would go out and I would start my truck and I would start my wife's truck, car. And then I would go into the house. I'd get my bag and I'd grab my coffee and my thermos. And I'd go back out to my truck, jump in my truck and leave. And just minutes later, Brenda would get in her car and she'd leave. That was our day. That was the beginning of our day where we departed the house. This day, Brenda's car was in the garage. My truck was in the front yard, off to the side. I went out, I started my truck, and I walked back into the house. And as I walked into the house, I had to kind of round this corner, which brought me out to the front window of our house and the sidewalk out there. And had this curtains closed, but I heard a car door shut. I heard a noise out front. And so I looked out the window, and there was a truck full of men, and two of them were running towards my truck. That was before I got saved again. I had many Kairos moments along my salvation journey where the Lord visited me and caused me to grow up. I was a bit of a hothead, and I don't ever do that anymore. Who's laughing? Stop that. I don't know why I'm pointing at that. I'm all nervous now. I run around, I see it, there's dudes in my front yard, and it's like a plan. They're stealing my truck. I run back outside, there's a dude in my truck, and there's a guy in the driveway, and as I ran up, he's like this, and I'm like this. I go, get out of here! I scream at him, and he runs back to his truck. And the other dude jumps in my truck, which is running, and he locks the door with his elbow. And my truck wouldn't easily get into reverse. You had to finesse it to get into reverse. And this guy is all freaking out, trying to get it in reverse. And I can't get through, and I can't get to him. So, of course, I'm going to be a hero. I'm going to blow my fist through the window. No problem. One shot. I'll pop the window and then see what goes from there, right? Which I'm sure he would have just yielded easily, and we would have shook hands, and it had been all over. I hit that window. Wham! 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 And I kept hitting that window. I splattered my knuckles all over the place while he was driving away and just drove away. Now I'm so elevated with all this adrenaline, and he's driving down the street in my truck, and the other car goes by, and I'm just like, I'm so, so angry, losing my mind. I went way too far with this thing, Andy. Now it's all up in my head and in my emotions, and I walk inside the house, and my two daughters, Chloe and Maggie, and my wife standing there, and they're just like looking at me. They've never seen their father like enraged like this before. I am enraged. And I would just pass them up. I walk into the bedroom and I shut the door. I call the cops, and I'm just pacing like a wild cat, man, in the bedroom, and I'm just pacing back and forth. And the Lord stops me in my tracks, and he says, your daughters are going to remember this moment for the rest of their lives. What would you like them to remember it by? A Kairos moment. I had a moment right there. They saw me completely red-faced, violent, just out of my head. I calmed myself, I repented, asked Jesus to come, and I walked out to my daughters and I said, hey, let's pray for these guys that they don't hurt anybody. And then I said, what do you think the Lord's going to do out of this thing? What do you think the Lord's going to do for us? He's going to restore what we lost in greater quality and in greater quantity. And when he restores, what do you want me to buy you? And I think one of them said a bicycle, another one said like a Barbie house or something. And I said, okay, deal. Well, time goes on. Got a phone call. They found my truck. I got it back. They paid it off. I sold it for more than what I bought it. They stole my rims and all that. Somebody gave me more rims and put it all together. And I sold it. I got way more money than I bought it for just by selling it. And then the insurance money gives me all kinds of money back. I went and bought my daughter a bicycle and a Barbie house with that adversity. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So this is a moment where you go, yeah! Woo! I must not have told the punchline because it was like you're waiting for more or something. Seriously, these are moments. That event could have went one way or the other. But you can see that God breaks into these moments when we decide to yield to the Spirit. His Kairos moment punctuates our life and calls us to maturity, calls us to some kind of revelation, and calls us further into our growth with him. So Kairos versus Chronos. When you look through scripture, here's some trigger phrases. In the appointed time, at that set time, Habakkuk says, wait for it. It will surely come. Jesus said, the time has come and it's fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is here. The time was fulfilled. It's time to be baptized, right? Jesus, when he got baptized, there was a fulfillment of time. You see in scripture these trigger phrases, appointed time. The time was set for now. That's the word chronos that you'll find. The guys on the road to Emmaus were talking with Jesus. Weren't our hearts burning within us as he spoke to us on the road to Emmaus? These moments that happen and occur. It's like they were just walking and talking and all of a sudden they realize, where'd that guy go? Jesus, weren't our hearts on fire as he spoke? That routine moment became a Kairos moment for them. Is that translating? Is that making sense? It's these times where God says, remember this because I'm building something in you. Remember this moment. Remember these times because I want to build something in you. Don't think you're wasting chronos minutes when God has a purpose for your life. He's just waiting for the time of fulfillment so he can punctuate it with a Kairos moment. Man, I've just been grueling. I've been going through this process over and over again. I don't like my job. I don't like this relationship. I don't like where I'm at. I'm struggling repeating this process. I always feel like there's something else. It's this fear of missing out. And so I leave this too early and I go. I want to encourage you, church, that there's a moment where God wants us to be faithful in Chronos so he can find the fulfillment of time to visit us with a Kairos moment. But we've got to have the right attitude with a Chronos minute so a Kairos moment would come. Does that make sense to you? So Joseph, if he had the wrong attitude in the pit or in the prison, things would have been very different. But something about Joseph gave him a right attitude in a really difficult circumstance and situation. Look at this, James 1 and 2. It says this. I don't think we have it up there, so you can turn to it in your Bible, read it on your digital scriptures there, but James 1 and 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and lacking in nothing. You have in that moment, you have this overlap of Chronos and Kairos right here. He's saying, count it all joy, Kairos. Count it all joy when you're going through various trials and you're enduring. See, the endurance part is where we just grind and we just walk it out. We're consistent in our studies, our routines, our discipline of fasting, our watching our tone with our boss. We just keep walking these things out. It's not sexy, but we get consistent with it. And we stay with these things that work because we want to be faithful. I had a conversation with a young man last night who said, hey, Doug, I got this job opportunity. I'm thinking about quitting my job. Well, how long have you been at your job? Just a few weeks, but I got a better opportunity. And this guy lives out of state, so it's nobody in the room, so you stop that. And I said to him, what's your goal? And he goes, I feel like I need to make more money. And I said to him, I don't think Jesus wants to double your income. I think he wants to double your character. I think he wants to double your character. There's going to be opportunities that come over and over, but the real gold is in character. The real gold is being able to walk principles out and live them out, because those are the things that are going to serve you. Now, you'll spend a bag of money. It'll go quick, especially if you don't have the discipline to run a simple budget. You know what I mean? You get a good job and good money, and you double it because you got a great opportunity. Now, granted, this doesn't apply to everybody in every situation. The only point I'm saying is that Jesus is looking to grow us up character-wise and develop us so he can visit us at the time of fulfillment in the right time and bring us to that place of purpose, because he marks us with vision, with a dream in Joseph's case. He speaks to us in the delay, and he shapes us in the delay. And then he moves us into a place of purpose. Does that make sense? So we're marked, we're moved, and we're made. So Joseph's dream was a Kairos moment, a divine event. God marked him for a purpose and continued to bring him and bring that word to pass. Genesis 40, I'm just going to kind of cover this here, this idea, but starting at verse 1, Genesis 40, it goes like this, and it says, marked by a Kairos moment, marked by a Kairos moment. Genesis 40, 1 through 3, then it came to pass after these things, the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Pharaoh was furious with these two officials, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker, so he put them in confinement, aka prison, in the house of the captain of the bodyguard, in jail, the same place where Joseph was imprisoned. So you've got after these things, in those first few words, then it came to pass after these things. It's a trigger for a Kairos moment. Something unique is going to happen. Joseph is sitting in prison, counting the minutes. And all of a sudden, this opportunity shows up. These two guys show up and begin to add to the scenario. These two high-ranking officials are introduced to Joseph's story. Their arrival wasn't an accident. It sets up the divine appointment between Joseph to Pharaoh off into the future. You've got these two guys that are from Pharaoh's court show up in the jail cell, which just communicates this introduction that's going to be happening at some point in the future. Joseph's going to meet him. So the idea and the feel of this thing, it feels ordinary. These two men offend their Lord, but behind it is a hidden orchestration. But the reality, this isn't just random sin in the workplace. This is God's divine orchestration. God's up to something. He's looking to move something along because he marks us, he makes us, and then he moves us into our place of purpose. That's what the Lord's doing here with Joseph. It shows these Kairos moments often begin disguised as ordinary problems, offenses, or setbacks. How easy is it to look at your minutes, look at your experiences, your circumstances, and just say, this is terrible. How do I get out of this? I think a better question would be, Lord, what do you want me to learn while I'm here? What do you want to teach me? How many think that that's easy to do. Hard to do. It is. It's hard to do. See, our attitude makes the difference of everything. When we come in with a surrendered attitude, we'll find that the Lord moves us through this process. The best way, the fastest way to get through these chronos minutes is by surrendering to Jesus and finding out what he wants to do with us and where he wants to go with us. In verses 4 through 8, you see further, the captain of the bodyguard, what did I just say? Bodyguard? I'm just seeing if you're awake, that's all, right? The captain of the bodyguard put Joseph in charge of them, and he took care of them. And they were in confinement for some time. So it speaks of that these guys were there for quite some time. Then the cupbearer and the baker for the king of Egypt, who were confined in jail, both had a dream the same night, each man with his own dream and each dream with his own interpretation. And when Joseph came to them in the morning and observed them, behold, they were dejected. And he asked Pharaoh's officials, these two guys who were with him in confinement in the master's house, why do you look so sad today? Why are your faces down? And they said to him, because we've had a dream and there is no one to interpret it. Then Joseph said to them, do not all interpretations belong to God? Tell it to me, please. Then you get the story. These guys begin to share with Joseph their dream. How cool is that, though? These guys been in prison for a while. Who knows what they offended Pharaoh about? It doesn't, the scripture doesn't say. It could be a conspiracy where they got caught trying to poison Pharaoh. The cupbearer deals with his wine and making sure he does the taste test so Pharaoh doesn't get poisoned. The baker cooks his food up. Who knows? Did they not take care of the grain and things went sour? There could have been some guilt, and he said, I don't know which one of you are guilty, so I'm going to throw you both into prison until we figure it out. But either way, these guys show up in jail, and they're struggling, trying to figure out, what the heck, how long do I have to be here? Usually when they're in prison like that, in these confinements, it's unto some kind of trial date. There's going to be a decision made. Just like Joseph, he was there until there was some kind of decision made. But it seems like he got forgotten as he was in there for longer than 2 years, we see. But these concepts here, Joseph being learning to be a man who can handle responsibility, his integrity, his faith, and his discernment are being forged in confinement. But check this out here. These moments here, look at this next slide real quick. Right here. Five different types of kairos moments. There's moments of invitation, where God calls us, calls to step. God's call is for us to step in. Correction moments, where God confronts and corrects and realigns our lives. There's judgment moments, where there's a finality of consequence. There's breakthrough moments, where the Holy Spirit invites us in to release us into a new season. There's destiny moments, positioning for divine purpose. And a number of other types of moments. But these divine moments where God wants to break into our lives. He's looking to visit us. He's looking to move us along. You're not just wasting time. You're not just going through the minutes. You're not just simply taking up space and taking up oxygen. God's got a purpose for your life. He meant good to come out of your life. You're in a process and God's calling you somewhere. The question is, what can I learn from these minutes that I'm in? And believe this, is that the minutes that you're in will set you up and prepare you for the moments that the Lord wants to break into your life. And at that time, fulfillment, it was time. It was time. Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. I want you to know there's many, many kairos moments that are introduced and waiting for you just to walk into. Joseph was a faithful young man who put his time into the pit. He put his time in the prison. He put his faithfulness in right where he was at. with everything you do, do unto the Lord. Be faithful. That's the fastest way to get through delays. But I want to say this here in some closing. I want to encourage you to read the rest of 40. This concept, Joseph, man, who better to have a dream in front of than this guy Joseph, man, who knows about dream interpretation. How amazing. I've been studying these dreams and trying to interpret these dreams and figuring out, because you got the dream and you got the interpretation. There's a process in there. You can see it just begin to unfold. But I want to communicate these things to you as this. God's got a purpose for your life. God's initiated a purpose in your life. He's simply calling you to two events that he's ordered in your life. What is planned to do is produce this moment for you, or moments, to where you can step into what God's called you to do. But you're on a road, you're on a journey, you're in a spot. That's intentional. God's got a purpose for you. And there's a point that it's all going to come to a head, to a place of harvest. But my encouragement to you is this, is that you remain faithful. You remain faithful. And you be consistent in these chronos minutes, asking God, would you break in for the kairos moment? What are you doing? What's the purpose of this season? What do you want to accomplish in my life? Habakkuk says, for the vision is going to come. Habakkuk 2:3. It's going to come. Wait for it. It'll surely come to pass. It's going to come to a place of fulfillment. Wait for it. Wait for it. I want to encourage you to trust the wait. Trust the difficult moments. Trust God in your wait time. Put in your wait time. Put in the time until that whole thing begins to unfold for you. We're going to have a moment here of worship, but I want to ask you three things in consideration. Would you stand with me? Would you be willing to ask God? Would you give me a divine understanding? Would you visit me in my trial? Would you be willing to invite God into your pit, your prison, whatever that is, whatever that translates to you? I'm sure we've all got difficulties. Lord, would you come and just show up right in my world? Are you willing to trust and act in faith with this process that God has you in? I know for some of you, that's a very big ask. How could this mean anything? God, it's so difficult. It's so hard. I'm trying to find peace, but it just keeps coming from every angle. I want to encourage you to trust in the way. We see this example of Joseph. He was pitched into a pit. He was betrayed by his family. Such a beautiful story for us. Do you have any specific areas that you need to do business with God? That you need to surrender, where you've been kind of resisting these moments, and the Lord's calling you to a place of surrender? You can say yes to any of those things. I want you just to stay right where you're at. Just acknowledge to the Lord. You're going to just worship a little bit, put your hands out or whatever, but I want you to take this moment here between you and Jesus before we finalize everything. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you visit us right here? Would you come, Father, and touch every person in this room? Help us to find you in these difficult moments. Find you in these places, Lord. And I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would deposit faith in every one of us to believe, Lord, that you have a purpose for our lives. That these minutes aren't for nothing. It's not wasted. Even my failures, even my bad attitudes, even the things that I haven't surrendered, it's not wasted, Lord. The things that the enemy has meant for evil, God, you mean for good. God could use everything for his glory and your story. So come, Jesus, and fill us now with your spirit. We thank you, God. Now just come and touch every person here. Let your spirit just come upon us. Thank you. I have the sense from early on during worship, I just want to offer this, open this up for some words of knowledge. If you got a sense of somebody here with some specific need, I have this sense here on the right side of your hip, there's pain of some sort. I don't know, bruising or something. I just have this ongoing